take your King James versions and go ahead and turn to Deuteronomy chapter 1. The book of Deuteronomy in chapter 1 this morning. Some things we need to learn from Moses, especially as we look and start our message. Heavenly Father, I pray that you might bless, Lord, as we look into your word, and that we might learn and we might be able to apply the things that we do learn. Help us, Lord, to realize how weak and fallible we are, but Lord, how strong and pure you are. Help us, Lord, to look to you for everything. Bless in the preaching of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. The book of Deuteronomy chapter 1, I call your attention to verse 21, please. It says, "Behold, the Lord thy God has set the land before thee. Go up and possess it as the Lord God of thy fathers has said unto thee. Fear not, neither be discouraged. And ye came near unto me every one of you and said, We will send men before us, and they shall search us out a land and bring us word again by what way we must go up and into what cities we shall come, and the same pleased me well, and I took 12 men of you, one of a tribe. And they turned and went into the mountain, came into the valley of Eshcol, and searched it out. And they took of the fruit of the land in their hands, and brought it down unto us, and brought us word again, and said, It is a good land, which the Lord thy God doth give us. Notwithstanding, ye would not go up, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God. And ye murmured in your tents and said, Because the Lord hated us, he hath brought us forth out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. Whither shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts. The people is greater and taller than we. The cities are great and walled to heaven. And moreover, we have seen the sons of the Anakims there. Then I said unto you, Dread not, neither be afraid of them. The Lord your God, which goeth before you, he shall fight for you, according to all that he did for you in Egypt, before your eyes." Call your attention to verse 21, that when the Lord told them to go into that land, he said, Fear not, neither be discouraged. I want to preach to you for a while on the sin of discouragement. All of us have been discouraged at one time or another. Maybe you're going through some of that now. You know, and God knows. But we've got a book here that God has said every word is pure. And that you can learn from history. That's why the Bible is history. Things that are past that we can learn from the mistakes of others, and what God has commanded before time, that either we have rebelled against or forgotten, about what the Lord had said. But for sure we know that they rebelled and they murmured in their tents. That means at home. Huh? Wonder how many people come to church and everything's fine, smiles on their faces and everything else, and they get home and they start murmuring against the church or the pastor or whatever, you know, have roast preacher and all of that. They did that, it says, that they murmured in their tents. And when you do that, you have a tendency to become discouraged because you're looking at the wrong things within life and you're not listening to God. When God speaks, you need to be attentive, to pay attention and do what he says and forget what everybody else says. He said they got discouraged because of the brethren. Verse 28, our brethren have discouraged our heart. You got to watch out about discouragement. You know why it's a sin? Because discouragement will keep you from obeying what God told you to do in your life. It'll just wipe out Thanksgiving. You won't be thankful for anything. Everything's bad, negative, and so forth. And you get that attitude. A discouraging attitude. When you do it, it spreads. Just like illness will spread, you know. One person gets a cold or something, pretty soon another person gets it. On and on it goes. Well, it's the same with discouragement. Now, God already warned them, it says there, that he was going to take them over into this land. And in verse 21, he said, don't be discouraged, don't fear. What did they do? They feared. And they got discouraged. You pay a big penalty when you get discouraged. That's why it's a sin. How long did they pay for their sin of discouragement? 40 years of their life. Just wandering around. Every once in a while, God would show himself as a pillar at night and a cloud during the day, and they knew it's time to move that tabernacle. Over 1,000 pounds of stuff every time that God did that and moved them to a different place. They suffered in that wilderness for 40 years. All of the ones that got discouraged died out. And a new generation came in. And those are the ones that went over into the promised land after that. So I'm preaching about something very important that we learn. Because a lot of things, especially today, you look at the world, it's coming apart. We have no leadership. Even in churches, we don't. You know. And so there's less and less Christians going to church. There's less and less preachers that are sticking by the Bible and not wavering from it. And because of low attendance and low offerings and everything else, the preachers can get discouraged as well. You know, every sermon that I preach to myself first before I preach it to you. Because this old sinner needs it even more than you do. So we got to learn from the Word of God. None of us are perfect for sure. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus Because when you start looking at the brethren, verse 28, you will be discouraged. There's a lot to discourage us in your life. And this is why it's so important for this to be preached upon. Go to Numbers chapter 20, please. To your left, a few pages, you get to Numbers chapter 20. Look at Numbers chapter 20. Then came the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, into the desert of Zin in the first month, and the people abode in Kadesh, and Miriam died there and was buried there. Now this is Moses' sister, Miriam. And there was no water for the congregation. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. And the people chode with Moses. They were a pain in the neck, is what it's talking about. And spake, saying, would God that we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. And why have ye brought up the congregation of the Lord into this wilderness, that we and our cattle should die there? And wherefore have ye made us to come up out of Egypt, to bring us into this evil place? It is no place of seed, or of figs, or vines, or pomegranates, neither is there any water to drink. And Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they fell on their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye to the rock. You need to take your pen that you always bring to church, and you need to underline, speak ye to the rock. Before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water. And thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock. So thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord, as he commanded them. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he said unto them, hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice, and the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. And the Lord spake to Moses and Aaron, because ye believed me not to sanctify me, that means separate me from everybody else, to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel. Therefore, ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. This is the water of Meribah, because the children of Israel strove with the Lord, and he was sanctified in them. What's the setting? Their pain for being discouraged when God told them to go into the land, but they rebelled and did not because they feared and they got discouraged. Exactly what God told them not to do. Now they're in the wilderness and they've run out of water, and of course they're blaming Moses for it. Well, Moses is supposed to be their water boy, you see. Well, God gave them instructions. You know what set off the day? Moses got up that day, and his sister had died. This was funeral day. This was a time of mourning. This was a time that he had his mind and his thoughts and his emotions on the death of his sister that had been with him right from the beginning. You talk about close. And then they start trouble. You remember Moses went into Egypt. There were 3 million of them. They only give the number of the men, but if you see that every man had a wife and they had at least 3 kids and a family, and it was probably a lot more than 3 kids in those days. Many times they had families that were large, like Jacob's that have 12. You'll get right around 3 million people. Moses and his brother Aaron, God put in charge of that. And now after all of the sacrifice that Moses and Aaron had done, they didn't appreciate any of it. They told them, go on over and take the land. They didn't. They made excuses. You want to get discouraged? Just make a bunch of excuses rather than obeying God. And so here they are needing water. Moses, you can imagine the feeling that he had. He's got no support. He is discouraged as far as he can be, enough that he fell flat on his face in the tabernacle, brought this to the Lord. And the Lord told him what to do. And you know, when you're discouraged, you're going to make wrong decisions. He understood the Lord. The Lord said, speak to the rock. But because he was in the flesh, because he was discouraged, and these people were ranting and raging and angering him, he hit the rock. He hit the rock twice. God still gave the water because he knew that the people needed the water and that was going to be it. But did you know, through everything that Moses had already done within his life for these people, because he called them rebels, and he also said, must we bring water out of this rock? He didn't sanctify the Lord. He didn't give the credit to God. And God said, because you didn't sanctify me, you're not going into the promised land. What? Moses? Not going into the promised land after all of that? What was behind all of that discouragement? 40 years is a long time, folks. He spent 40 years there in Egypt, then he spent 40 years in Midian, and then the burning bush, and now he's spending 40 years in the desert. He's going to be 120. Wow. And he isn't going. What do you get discouraged about? It's a sin if we stay in discouragement. But, of course, anything like this, we know the devil's behind. Devil's got lots of tools to work on you. And this is just one of them. That devil hates me today because I'm exposing this tool of Satan to you. That you can learn from this Old Testament and from Moses and everything that I'm preaching on. There's always things that are wrong, and you know they're wrong. You got social drinking. Nobody thinks anything's wrong with taking a little alcohol, you know. That's Lucifer's liquid. Then you got relatives. They've all got opinions about church, religion, and everything else that aren't anything that's in the Bible. But they're trying to persuade you. And they're trying to keep you out of church, out of your Bible. So you will get discouraged. Satan is using them. Parties and everything else that they'll have, and they got to have it on the Lord's Day, you see. So people would stay away on the Lord's Day rather than come to church. Then there's also sodomy. You got homosexuals out there all the time, and that's being accepted and put up. You talk about discouragement. Even with Abraham. Even his nephew went down into Sodom and lived among them. You know, we get all of these ideas of thinking, oh, I'm free, I can do this, I can go here, I can go there. Yeah, you can. But a wise man will keep himself out of sin. Don't put yourself in the place of temptation in the first place. And then the discouragement won't come later. And of course, then there's debt. You can't pay your bills. You can't get a job. All of these things can discourage you. But only one sin's behind it, and that's discouragement. There's many things that can discourage you. Go over to 1 Kings chapter 19, please. 1 Kings chapter 19. It says, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all of the prophets with the sword. And then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me the more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. Talk about the fear of man. The fear of man will do it every time in your life. Who do you fear? Do you fear man or God? It's easy to say that we fear God. Wait until man comes along and threatens you. We'll see who you fear. When you fear that, this is a good man. This is Elijah the prophet. And he's running for his life. He goes down there and sits down under a tree, as we should have read all of this text before. Seeing you're reading through the Bible, you're gonna get to it. But you've read it before. You see all of this thing happening. What was this? This was the power that was in charge. Brought discouragement. That's the government. What's power over you down here on earth? It's government. God instituted government. He instituted the family first, the church second, and the government third. Human government. And so they're all made from God, but wicked people get in charge, like Ahab and Jezebel. And what did he do down there? He got discouraged. It says in verse 18, when God's talking to him here, he responds and says, yet have I left me, first of all, he says that I'm the only one. Which one is, what verse do I want there? Oh yeah, verse 14. And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts because of the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, throw down thine altars and slain the prophets with the sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. So you get this Elijah complex where you think you're the only one in the whole world that's standing for God. But there are plenty, because it says down there in verse 18, God replies, says, yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which have not kissed him. So this fear of man, this situation with the government, discouraged him. What a great man of God that God used to work miracles. Great men can fall. Great men can get down in the dumps. So this is a sin that can attack anyone. Go to Nehemiah chapter 4. The book of Nehemiah. Do you write a few bucks? And you get to Nehemiah chapter 4 and in verse 10. As Nehemiah is trying to build the wall, he's in the process of building the wall after the captivity into Babylon. It says there in verse 10, Nehemiah 4:10, Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. Difficulties of a task. The task is too big. I can't do it. And you get discouraged. There was too much rubbish. They couldn't get it out of the way so they could build the wall. You remember the enemies were after them at the same time they were trying to build. They had to hold a trowel in one hand and a sword in another to protect themselves. Watch about jobs, tasks that you need to do, and you think it's above you, but God's told you to do something, you do it. You don't give excuse. You don't let it discourage you. You learn and grow and get tough. And you complete the task. Again, discouragement will stop you. Tells us over in Psalm 73, verse 2, but as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. When you see the bad guys prospering, and you are living for the Lord, and you're not, you can get discouraged. You can get discouraged. Just another way that Satan will try to use that in your life to keep you from getting right with God and living for Him with your life. Get you sidetracked, get you a bad attitude, get discouraged because of what's going on around you, the prosperity of the wicked. Look at Exodus chapter 6, showing you some things that discourage people. Maybe they have you. Exodus chapter 6. And in verse 9. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. And I will take you to me for a people, and will be to you a God, and ye shall know that I am the Lord, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will bring you into the land concerning the which I swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob. I will give it you for an inheritance. And Moses spake so unto the children of Israel, but they hearken not unto Moses for anguish of spirit and for cruel bondage. If you're kept in bondage, you can be discouraged. What keeps you in bondage? Everybody's dependent on something else out here in life rather than God. They get dependent on drugs. They get dependent on alcohol. They get dependent on nicotine. They get dependent on the things of sex and so forth. It's all over, everywhere. All of those things will put you in bondage, chains, chain you up, and you'll be discouraged. One of the reasons people commit suicide is when there's no hope. When there's no hope, that's when it'll happen. The wicked knows what he can do with us. Go to Numbers chapter 21, would you? Numbers chapter 21. Right after Leviticus. Numbers 21 and verse 4. It says, and they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom, and the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. When you got a hard way to go, everything's not going easy. You got to work hard at it. You can get discouraged rather than keep in the fight and go forward. It's one of the tools of Satan. Hardness of the way. And when they murmured, because that was the next thing, after they got discouraged in verse 4, in verse 5, they were murmuring. They spake against God. And they had no gratitude toward the Lord either. You brought us out of bondage just to die in the wilderness? Wow. You better watch how you talk to God. He's the one that's all powerful, you know. He's your creator, you know. And just because you come up against some of these things in life, we need to learn not to be discouraged because of these things. Because we still have a God that's on the throne. We still got the answer to life. Christ is the answer. He's always been the answer. So here's Moses. He's not having a good day. His sister dies. He has disappointment. All of his plans that he had through his life, his dreams, and there's no water. No baths, no brushing your teeth. And they contended with him. God just wants to kill us. But they didn't say God. They said, Moses, you brought us out. They're blaming him. All he's doing is obeying God. He's doing right. But you see, a great man like Moses can fall to discouragement as well. How many good churches have shut down because the pastor got discouraged? The people got discouraged. Satan uses this so that the gospel doesn't get out. They had seen God's power before, but he called them rebels before he pleaded for them before. God was going to kill them all. Remember that? Remember that? And Moses pleaded with God, don't kill them. Don't wipe out the whole nation. What are the other countries going to say? God took his own people out and annihilated them. Don't do that, God. He pleaded for these people. Now he's calling them rebels. This was not a good day for him. Psalm 106 says, because they provoked his spirit so that he spake unadvisedly with his lips. When you get discouraged, Satan gets a hold of your tongue and your lips. You say wrong things. Things that would hurt people, relatives, family members, friends, because of discouragement. It's not a good mood. Moses is just saying, I'm sick of it. I put up all of these years with you and go over Canaan. Like I say, he's 100, over 100 for sure right now. He's going to live to 120. But I've lived over 80 years in the will of God. Now you rip out my heart. Disappointments lead to discouragement, which leads to depression, which leads to disqualification. The word depression isn't in the Bible, but discouragement brings it. It's a sin to stay discouraged. I deal with that every day of my life. To be encouraged. The disappointments led to discouragement. Every day you live, you see some more of your hair go down the drain. You see your car break. Things go wrong at work. You see even saved friends that tell you to just drop dead. Those that you thought were friends turn on you. They betray you. They leave you. And the bills need to be paid. And there's always people in the church that want to go to Greener Pastures Baptist Church, you know. All kinds of things going on. We get everything at home organized and your life organized and get a good schedule and everything, and then the doctor tells you about the illness you have or somebody in your family does. You got your teenagers that get out of control because they're watching the TV where the bad guy wins. When I was brought up, we had a TV that was about that big. Amen. And I'd watch the black and white TV when I was 8 and 10 years old. Watch the Lone Ranger. You'd watch those westerns, and the good guy always had the white hat, and the bad guy always had the black hat. But never did the guy with the black hat win. Now you turn on TV, and the bad guy wins. He gets away with it. Things that will discourage you. It's a confusing time that we live in. Dad goes to work, comes home, and then he gripes about everything. So then the wife, she doesn't encourage him. She continues to pile on. We wonder why all of these things happen out here in life and in families. It's easier to wallow in your self-pity than to be an overcomer like God said to do. Oh, I didn't get what I deserve. The only thing you deserve is hell. That's all you deserve. Read your Bible. God's blessed you in so many different ways, but you're not thankful because you're discouraged. It's the enemy of thanksgiving. But I didn't do any big sin and everything with my life. I didn't go rob a bank or something. Yeah, be careful. Just when you think you're okay, God shows you, you aren't. You got work to do in your life. God will show you that. Discouragement is a sin. Don't lose the fruit of your labors in your life. Don't lose your reward just because you're discouraged. Do something about it. Deuteronomy 31:8 says, "And the Lord, He it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed." Another word for discouragement. You've got the promises of God. You've got something worthwhile within your life if you're really saved. We have no business being discouraged. Illness can do the same thing. You got everything bombarding us in this life. You know, welcome to life. It gets everybody. Judges 20, verse 22 says, "And the people, the men of Israel, encouraged themselves." There is no excuse for you remaining discouraged. 1 Samuel 30, verse 6 says, "Because the soul of all of the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters, but David encouraged himself in the Lord." Don't let these things in your life, this discouragement, take you away from what God is wanting in your life so that you do something for Him that'll last for eternity. Do you see how insidious that the devil is? Kids running crazy and wild out here in the streets and killing people and everything else. Something's wrong when kids run wild and the dogs are the ones that are sent to obedience school. I think we got that backwards. Got to face up to it. The answer's in the book. Always has been. Always will be. Great men I mentioned were discouraged. But they got out of that. They encouraged themselves. And they lived for the Lord. What are you going to do this morning? You know what's in your life. Don't you be a slave to discouragement. It's a sin, just like any other sin. Don't try to whitewash it. Make it just a little sin. It's ruling your life. Because it affects your attitude. It affects your influence. You won't be an influence for godliness to others. You'll be a bad influence and example to your kids, to other Christians, to even those that are lost. They're watching you too. Don't go along with what they say. You should be rejoicing in the Lord. What's Nehemiah say about that? Where do you get your strength? "The joy of the Lord is my strength." That's what it says. Be joyful. You've got the answer. You've got the Word of God. Read it. Study it. Memorize it. Show others it. So we have everything that we need. And we have a God that's always looking over us. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." That whole 23rd Psalm. What a blessing. God's watching over you. He knows what you're going through. And He knows the answer too. He's always been the answer. Realize it. Do something about it today. I pray that you will. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God. And Lord, the Holy Spirit that abides in each one, each Christian this morning. Lord, help us to get the answers out of the Bible, from the preaching, from godly counsel. Help us, Lord, to be an overcomer like you told us to be. Help us to admit and confess our sin unto you. Get it right today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen, amen. Well,